Thank you for listening to this message from Sovereign Way Christian Church. At Sovereign Way, we long to be biblical people doing biblical things the biblical way. Our pastors desire to teach expositionally through the Bible, making the meaning of the passage the meaning of the message. The message you are about to listen to is recorded live at one of our services. For more information about the church, you can go to sovereignway.org, or if you'd like to contact us, you can email us at info@sovereignway.org.
If you can, turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 3. I struggled over what to teach this morning. Before we get into it, Pastor Mo is definitely disappointed that he couldn't have been here. He was hoping to be here with us this morning to preach the word. But because of the fire season, and because of the record heats that will be coming today through Wednesday, he'll most likely be recalled today and tomorrow and Tuesday. And so you can pray for him to be safe, but he did want me to pass it along, just that he does wish that he could be here. I had something prepared that I've kind of been working on since March-ish, that I was going to teach this morning, but that'll probably come out more of like a blog post or something. And so I figured, let's go back to Judges. And we'll just be in one verse rather than 23 today, or 24. And so if you would stand with me. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. It says, "After him was Shamgar, the son of Anah, who killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad. And he also saved Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you so much just for this time to be able to come to your word. Lord, to read about somebody and to learn about somebody that most of us have probably never heard of. We thank you that you know him. We thank you that you know what he did. And Lord, we thank you that you recorded it for us. And so we pray for this time that we would hear your words, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us. And let's pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys go and be seated. I do, again, want to echo all the thanks. We had a lot of people come out and help us. If you walked in through the entrance, you had to walk in through the entrance. But as you're walking in and you're seeing the cave that's out there and just all the paper, that was a lot of work. There's a lot of paper crumpling and a lot of staples, so that'll be fun afterwards. But to get everything up, this boat back here blew my mind when it came in last Sunday, so... Yeah, Mike will probably be really uncomfortable today, but just shake his hand, tell him thank you. And we cannot leave out Cody and Natalie for painting and staining and all the other stuff that went with this. In science, there's something called potential energy. It's stored energy. It's a concept that, I mean, there's a lot of mathematical equations that you can do to figure out what it is. But if you think about it, the easiest way would be like a spring. When you compress a spring and hold it, it's got potential energy. It's actually not doing anything, but it can. Or like a rubber band, as you're pulling it, it has the potential to do something. Everything has potential energy. If you think about gravity, right now, you have the potential to fall and hit the ground pretty hard. And so everything has potential energy. When that potential energy is now realized, it's called kinetic energy. It's energy in motion. And so if you let the spring go and it flies up, or if it holds something and pushes it like on a pogo stick or something, then you see the kinetic energy, that energy in motion. It's starting to realize that potential. If you let the rubber band go, it flies. That's kinetic energy. In Christianity, there's a phenomenon, and it's something that plagues the church, of a lot of people have potential to do awesome things. A lot of people have potential to display the mercies of God to people. A lot of people have potential to evangelize. A lot of people have potential to do good works. There's a lot of Christians that have a lot of potential. The thing that we want to work on is getting you from that potential to do something to doing something. And oftentimes it takes a push, like last week when we talked about Deborah and giving Barak that push. He was reluctant to serve. She gives the push, and then he serves and does something incredible for God. And so And going from what is the potential to what we're supposed to be doing, I want to kind of get our minds into a different way of looking at potential. John Wooden put it this way. Don't measure yourself by what you have accomplished, but by what you should have accomplished with your ability. John Wooden, if you don't know, was a basketball coach for the UCLA Bruins back in the 60s and 70s. He had the record for the most consecutive national champions by any coach, largely considered the greatest basketball coach of all time. He would start every year off by teaching his players. Now, these are 18-year-old players to put on their socks right. But if you think about a basketball player's feet, they're very important. And so he would teach them to crumple up the sock right, to fold it down, get it on your foot, smooth it all out so that there's no extra places to hurt your foot or you're not going to get blisters or anything like that, to smooth it out, to get the sock up your leg right so that it doesn't fall off. And you think about, that's just so silly. Well, Joe Maddon, the co-manager of the Cubs, has something very similar to where it's all about running to first hard. It's 90 feet. These are grown men. These are professional athletes. They can run 90 feet. But everything starts from, if you do that right, everything else will follow. And in our Christian lives, there's a lot of things that, if we get it right from the foundation, there's a lot of things that follow that. And so I want to get a few things right in our minds about what it is to serve God. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Brian talked about you're saved and you being saved and you living in being that saved person and continuing that faith is proof that you were saved in the first place. Last week we looked about service and just it was more of a shotgun approach. It's this broad thing of, well, you have to obey the whole Bible. And I know that's kind of could be a lot to drop on your plates. It's like, well, we've got to obey the whole Bible. And now I want to get it down and kind of get it down into you as a person. How do you do this? I think many Christians get caught up in measuring themselves against other Christians or even against themselves. I think many Christians think, well, you know, I got my 15 to 30 minutes of requisite time within the Bible. I'm good. I read. I spent my time in reading. I'm good. I just read my chapter or two. They may even say, you know what, I got through my whole prayer list. I prayed for everything I'm supposed to. I'm good. And while those things are great, is that really what we're going to limit Christianity to? Is that really what we're going to limit our time to God, with God to? Just that time in the morning? Just that time on Sundays? Just that? But what about the rest of the week? We have 168 hours every week. And God's not asking for the first 15 minutes of your day. God's asking for all of it. God's not asking for moments here when you open the Bible and read it. God's asking for your whole life. And so it has to be more than a checklist. It has to be more than, well, I've done this, I'm good. Or I did this in the past, I'm good. And so we come to a person, again, a person that I'm pretty sure most of you have never heard of. And if you have, it was just in reading this verse, because he's only mentioned twice in the Bible, here in Judges chapter 5. We read about this guy named Shamgar. It's a fun word to say, Shamgar. It's kind of like shampoo. It's one of the funniest words in the English language. Now you're going to start saying shampoo over and over again. So go get it out of your system, do it, because it's kind of fun, shampoo. And so we come to this guy, Shamgar. And Shamgar, we don't get a lot about him. We're told his name, we're told who his father was, and we're told a couple things he does. That's it. One verse. I assure you, had this verse not been here, we wouldn't have missed much. But the awesome thing is God had ordained it to be here, and God wanted it here, and is here for a purpose. And so because it is, we get to learn about this great guy. So he's the son of Anath. Again, we don't know what tribe he's from. We don't know any other lineage than that. That's it. We see that he killed 600 of the Philistines with an ox goad. There's a lot of people that explain this away by saying, well, he led a band of troops that killed 600 Philistines. It's possible. Either way, he killed 600 people. And an ox goad, if you're wondering, is that long stick. When they would plow the lands, they would put the plow onto two oxen. And as ox would go, you would have oxen kind of stubborn animals, so you have to kind of poke them with a stick. And so he has this 6 to 8 foot stick with a point at the end of it, and he would just poke the back of the oxen. That's an ox goad. And so he killed 600 people with a 6 to 8 foot pointed stick. That's it. And he also saved Israel. That's it. That's all he did. I think in our lives, as we are that rubber band that's stretched, are that spring that's compressed, we forget verses like Philippians 4:13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, again, this isn't meaning you can go out and lift a mountain or anything like that, or lift a car. It's more in the context of contentment and of living your life in want and in plenty. In those circumstances, because God is with you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We also forget verses like Ephesians 3:20, where we read, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask, or than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Think about that. God can do more, far more, and abundantly than all we ask or think. So whatever your imagination is of what God can do, he can do more. Whatever your thoughts on how God can affect your life, he can do more. Shamgar, I assure you, had no clue that God would use him to kill 600 Philistines with a pointed stick. It probably wasn't even a thought in his mind. But God rose him up for that time and to do those things. In your life, I'm not sure what is going on. I don't know every situation here. But I assure you that God wants to do more with you than you've ever imagined. That God has a higher purpose for your life than just giving him the 15, 30 minutes of reading and praying and just coming to church. God has more for you than that. We often live our lives trapped in that kind of mediocrity, to where we're just, okay, God teaches me to be content with everything I do. And while contentment is important, especially when it comes to situations in life and finances, contentment with spiritual growth should never mean I'm not going to grow. It should never mean, well, God's taught me everything he's going to, I'm good. It doesn't mean, well, I just stay here. We're to be growing. One of the main purposes of the church is to build the body up to maturity. It's not just build you up through teaching of the word. It's so that you can mature, so that you can discern the word for yourself, so that you can do the work of the ministry. Did you understand? Did you realize that the pastors are not called to do the work of the ministry, but to build up the church to do the work of the ministry? So the work of the ministry is done by every other person within the church. We have a great example of that with VBS this week, of everything that you've seen out there. There's a lot of people put in a lot of time and effort. There's a lot of things that are big, like this boat. There's a lot of things that are small, like even helping us to word a post for Facebook that we're putting out. There's a lot of those things that nobody thinks about, but those are all people using their gifts, and that's done by the body, not so much just by the pastors. And it should be. That's the way the biblical model is. That's what we're called to do, the work of the ministry. Oftentimes we look at these instances in the Bible and say, well, that's for past time, and that's how God acted then. I'm not sure God's changed. I'm actually pretty sure that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he will never change. So it's the same God with Shamgar as it is with us. So why would we expect any less of God? Why would we assume that he's expecting any less of us than for us to give him everything? Don't settle for a mediocre Christian life to where I've done my part, I'm good. Don't think that there's some point at which, hey, I can retire from Christian service, I don't have to do it anymore. It doesn't work that way. Many times we get caught up in the people that God uses, and we even think there's something special about them. We think there's something different about a John MacArthur. There's something different about a Matt Chandler. There's something different than about a Brian Orr or Josh Ritchie or Steve Feinstein or Mo Cazal. There's something different. I'm just this. And then we come across verses like in James chapter 5, where we read about a guy named Elijah who had a nature just like ours. And yet prayed earnestly and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Prayed again and it rained. It's Elijah. This is a guy that didn't die, rode a chariot up into heaven. This is a guy that called down fire on a soaked altar in front of 300 enemies of God and saw fire rain down from heaven. And the Bible has the audacity to say he had a nature just like ours. He was just a person. So as we narrow down, as we look at this guy named Shamgar, I want to pull out four things from his life, four things that we can learn from him, four things that I hope we all keep in mind as we contemplate serving God. Understand that servants of God can come from anywhere, from any place. God can use anyone. I fully believe that there were more people than just Shamgar who had the desire to throw off the Philistines. I fully believe that there are more people than just the people reading the Bible that maybe had a desire but didn't fulfill it, didn't step into it. For every Barak that we read of, I'm sure that there were other people who didn't have the Deborah to encourage him to do his work. There's a lot of people like that. But when we think about who God uses and when we think about what the difference is between somebody that God used and somebody that God didn't, it's simple. It's just obedience. It's just fulfilling what you're supposed to do. Consider the people that God used in the Bible. He made a nation out of an elderly couple, Abraham and Sarah. A nation, and not just a nation, many nations. He used a little shepherd boy to become the greatest king in Israel's history, David. He used Joseph, who was a dreamer, and the little brother who annoyed his older brothers to save his people. He used Moses, a 40-year politician, a murderer, who spent 40 years in semi-retirement leading a flock around the wilderness. He used Jonah, an angry prophet that did not want to see the enemies of God saved. He used Mary, a teenage girl, to carry his son. And he used the apostles. Some were fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, overall uneducated people, and he used them to change the world, to turn the world upside down. And here we have a farmer raised up to throw off, to kill 600 Philistines and to save Israel. Do not try to tell me that you can't be used mightily by God. Do not try to say, no, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. God can use anybody, and servants come from anywhere. Second thing we learn about Shamgar is that your past doesn't matter. We're given no history on Shamgar. We're given nothing saying he had an education, he learned from this person, he studied under this person, he knew Joshua personally. There's nothing. We're just given Shamgar, the son of Anath. That's it. So many times we think that, well, I need the right pedigree. I need to study at the right school. I need to study under the right pastor. I need to be discipled by the right people. I don't see any of that in the Bible. When God calls somebody, he's already prepared them to do those works. So your life up till now has prepared you to do whatever God wants you to do. The only question about serving God is, are you saved? Have you repented of your sin? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ that he is God and that he was raised from the dead? If the answer to that is yes, then you're up. It's your turn. Philippians 3:13, we read that Paul had only apprehended one thing, to forget what was behind and to press on towards those things which were ahead. And a lot of times, And there's a twofold lesson there. A lot of times it's easy to put all the bad stuff there. The sins, the bad behaviors, the things we want to throw off. Like in Hebrews chapter 12, where it tells us to throw off those things which entangle us and the sins. The weights and then the sins which will easily entangle us. So we see we're supposed to throw those things off and get rid of those things, forget what's behind and now move forward. But if you look at the list that Paul puts there, it's all the things that he could use to put confidence in his flesh. It's all the good things. He had the right pedigree within Israel. He had everything going for him. He was circumcised on the eighth day, born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was flawless according to the law, had the right teachers. He was a Pharisee. He was persecuting the church, the way, this small group of people who were trying to throw off Judaism. Of all those things, that was his pedigree. And he didn't just call it, he didn't just say, I'm going to forget about it. He considered it rubbish. He considered it trash. He considered it less than nothing. In our lives, it's got to be the same thing. Forget all that stuff. So what you led a Bible study last year? So what you evangelized to somebody 2 years ago? What are you doing today? Okay, you got saved 10, 15, 20 years ago. What are you doing today? Okay, you read the Bible once in the 80s. What are you doing today? It's a lot of things we throw up and we say, hey, God, you can't use me anymore. That's, again, not in the Bible. Let me remind you, Moses was a murderer. Let me remind you, Moses was 80 when God called him to lead Israel out of Egypt. 80 years old. So don't be looking for some age to where you can say, okay, I'm done. He led them for 40 years. That means he was 120 when God was finally done using him. Don't think that you could be too young, kids. Josiah was 8 when God called him to be king. He was 16 when he read the law and changed Israel. Your past doesn't matter when it comes to serving God. It didn't matter for Shamgar. It doesn't matter for us. Third thing we learn is that God uses us how we are. We look at Shamgar. Again, there's no preparation laid out. There's no, hey, he went to train with these great warriors to learn how to use a pointed stick to kill people. And again, it would be ideal if everybody here could get a seminary education and to learn the Bible great. That'd be ideal. Awesome. But again, ideal isn't always what happens in our lives. A lot of us have to learn through life. Through circumstances. A lot of us learn just on our own. We find out stuff through the internet. Google is a wonderful thing, although you got to be careful what you find. But it's a wonderful way to study. We have at our fingertips resources that can give us a seminary-like education on our phones. And a lot of you have experiences in life that have taught you far more than any amount of Bible studies that you could ever go through. For people who have suffered, you've learned more than all the studies on suffering that you could do in the Bible. For people who have had to learn how to forgive in times where it's hard, you've again learned far more than you could ever do in a study. A study of the Bible can give you the information and the knowledge, but there is something about practically doing the things of the Bible that the Bible tells you to do that teaches you far more than just study. And again, it's going from that potential, that knowledge is the potential, to the kinetic, to the actual faith in action and doing those things. God uses you as you are. A lot of people have in their minds, if I only knew the Bible better, or if only God took things off my plate. Or maybe If God changed my circumstances, then. I'm not saying those desires are wrong. Pray for those things. But I will say that the only question is, again, what are you doing today for God? Consider Matthew 6:34, where it says, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Focus on today, don't focus on tomorrow. A lot of people go to 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you." Now think about this. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is very interested in what you're doing today for him. A lot of us are interested in what we did yesterday or what we're going to do tomorrow. God is very interested in what you're doing today. God uses you as you are. The fourth thing we learned from Shamgar is that God uses you where you are. Now the question is, why did Shamgar have an ox goad in his hand? And the answer is pretty simple, because he was a farmer. It was what was in his hand. It was what he knew. Because if he had his choice, I'm sure he would have rather had a sword or an axe or a spear or a bow and arrow, any other weapon besides a pointed stick. But that's what he had. Again, so many people look at, "Hey, I've got to go to church and serve. Hey, I've got to go to the mission field and serve. Hey, if I go somewhere else, I can serve." God used Shamgar where he was. Imagine the scene. You've got maybe a 600-man army of the Philistines ready to march on a city down the road. And here's Shamgar plowing his fields, looking at this army coming up, looking at the people behind him. Whether he has a small band with him or not, he decides to do what he's supposed to. He decides to fight them. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to stand up and fight ISIS and kill 600 people with a pointed stick. But for Shamgar, in this circumstance, in this moment, he did it. And what's even better is that God recorded it for us. What's even better is that God knew he did it, and that God honored him by putting him in the Word. Never forget that. That when those moments face you, when you have the opportunity to serve, that God sees it. God knows what's going on. And that it's the reward from God that will count. So it's not about, hey, can I get the recognition here? Hey, can people give me the thanks here or the praise here? But if God sees what you do, that should be enough. Again, we have here an example of God doing an amazing thing through Shamgar. Slaying 600 people with a stick. Saving Israel. You need to fight the temptation that you're not a valuable weapon in the hands of God. That you're not a valuable servant in the hands of God. Got to stop looking at your own limitations. Stop thinking these things are for other people, for other times, in other lands. God wants to use you where you are, how you are, regardless of your past, regardless of yesterday. God wants to use you now. How do I know this? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Shamgar, this was planned for him. It wasn't an accident that he was there. God had planned this for him. Consider it this way. Before today, before Thursday, when I was asked to teach, before Mo was given that call that he wasn't going to be here, long before I came to Sovereign Way, long before I had my four kids, long before I was married, long before I ended up in the high desert, long before I was adopted, and long before I was born in Korea, God had intended for this moment to happen at this time. So in your life, don't think these things are, don't think that moments are inconsequential. Don't think that there's just small things that are happening. Don't think that your works are any less to God than somebody coming up and teaching the word before men. God values all work done before him. You don't need to be a different person to walk in his works. You don't need to change and not be yourself. Again, we are in the process of changing. We are in the process of maturing. Hopefully we're in the process of growing towards God. But wherever you are in that process, God will use you. Wherever you are, however you are, question is, if you're saved, what are you doing today for God? Don't limit what God can do through you. Again, one man killing 600 people with a pointed stick. That's a lot. I don't think you realize how many 600 people is. But right now in this church, we have about 120 people total. So think of killing five times this room with a stick. It's a lot of people. I think we get in this mindset, millions, we have 300 million in America, but 600 people is a lot of people. If you had a gun, it would be hard. But God did amazing things through him. And a lot of people, we might think, well, what we do isn't that big. You know what the greatest miracle in the Bible is? It's a changed life. It's a dead sinner who is at war with God, who is in enmity towards God, who doesn't want to please God. Is that dead sinner being made alive by God to serve God? Amen. And if you've participated in that miracle, you can do anything through God. That's what's amazing about God. Again, it's not us. It's not what we do. It's not who we are. It's who God is. And we serve the same God today that empowered Shamgar to do these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for your word. We thank you just that you are so awesome. God, there are no words that could adequately describe who you are and what you are. But we'll try. We'll try to worship you with all our words. We'll try to worship you with every breath. To bring glory to you, to shine the spotlight on who you are to others. And God, there's plenty of people in this room who are afraid to serve. Who are hindered by things in their past. Who are hindered by their own feelings, God. But Lord, we know that you're greater than those feelings. We know that you're greater than ourselves. And so, Lord, I pray for your help in each one of our lives to not consider ourselves, but to consider you. To not be swayed by circumstances or feelings, Lord, but to be moved by you. Lord, give us compassion for the lost. Lord, give us love for our fellow brothers and sisters. Lord, give us the courage to do what we're supposed to every single day. Lord, no matter what that is, whether it be giving, whether it be encouraging, whether it be a text, a phone call, a hug, whatever you have for us, Lord, make us willing to do those things. Lord, we'll trust you that the results will be for your glory and for your purposes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.